Young people, put things in your life that God can use. And the way it works is that most of the time you put it in your life before He uses it. Normally you put it in your life a long time before He uses it. Amen. I hate to be the bearer of bad news. I just hate it. Not really. But it's very doubtful that God's going to use a professional video gamer. I mean, I just... when your greatest muscles is on your thumbs, it's doubtful. Say amen right there. It's doubtful. Learn to play something besides a radio. Amen. That's right. You never know when you go to a rest home. When you go to a rest home, chances are, I remember when I started out, you know, I had several rest homes we'd go to, and I got to where I could chord a little bit on the guitar, and I'd go, and they didn't know, most of them couldn't hear. I'm not belittling them, I'm just saying that was probably a blessing. They couldn't hear, they didn't know what I was singing, if it was in tune or whatever, but I would go play and sing, and they'd help me sing, and then I'd lay that down, get my Bible out and preach. Give God something He can use. Amen. Involve yourself. Plan ahead. Well, there's some good advice. That's worth coming to church for right there. Plan ahead. You may be this age right now, but what if 10 years? 10 years. I may be gone in 10 years. I mean gone, gone. I may be in heaven 10 years. We all may be, for that matter. But what if not? What if you're still here? What if Jesus hadn't come? Are you thinking ahead? Thinking ahead. Prepare yourself. Put some things in your life. Learn the scriptures to where if you're put in a position to where you don't even have the Bible, you can't put your hands tangibly upon the Bible. For whatever reason, could it happen in America? You better believe it can happen in America. That you would have some scriptures in your mind and heart to where you could feed yourself with it. But anyway, all right, let's open our Bibles. I'm going to preach a little different this morning. I'm going to look at three different passages. One will be in the Gospel of Luke, and then the other two will be in the book of Acts. Luke's Gospel. And we're going to be looking at the account about Calvary when Jesus was, the mount that He was crucified upon in chapter number 23, Luke chapter number 23. I like to hear those pages turning. Always bring your Bible to church. Bring the right one to church. Say amen right there. If you've got the wrong one, just leave it at the house. I don't know how many of you have, this is just a little side note, don't have a thing to do with the message this morning, but I didn't know how many of you maybe have saw the post that I put on our church Facebook page and also saved it on mine about the NIV being the top favored pro-choice Bible of the Sodomite community. They love it. If they're going to have a Bible, the NIV is the one they're going to choose. What about that? Isn't that amazing? If wicked people likes it, there's something wrong with it. And all you have to do is do a little research and you'll find out that they had actual practicing, publicly announced sodomites on the translating committee. Do you think they're going to be honest with the Scripture? Do you think they're going to translate Romans chapter 1 accurately? You think they're going to go through Leviticus and Deuteronomy and translate, if a man lays with a man as with a woman, it's an abomination. And you think they're going to translate that accurately? No. But there is Baptist churches, just to mention them, there's all kinds of denominations that putting their approval on the NIV. It's pathetic. I'll tell you what that is. That's hirelings. That's hirelings that are not interested in pleasing God. They're interested in drawing a crowd and pleasing people. And they're running the big crowds. They're running the big thousands and thousands of people. But that don't impress me. That don't impress me. That don't impress me. Crowd number. You can go to the stadium in Knoxville and watch the Tennessee Vols play. There's probably a crowd, but I don't know if God's in it. But just saying, if he's in it, they might win one every now and then. I don't know. That don't have a thing to do with the message. Some of y'all need to smile a little bit, amen. All right. We're just going to begin this morning in Luke's chapter 23, and I'm going to start in verse number 33. If you got your place there, say amen. Amen. And what I'm interested in this morning is little simple words that stand in the way of salvation. And our first one that we're going to look at in Luke chapter number 23, and by the way, I believe it's probably going to be proven at the great white throne judgment, which is the judgment of unbelievers. The great white throne judgment will probably prove what stood between somebody getting saved or not getting saved, and those that will be at the white throne judgment will be those that didn't get saved. Okay? Will prove to be the hindrance was a little thing. They let a little love, a little lust, a little this, a little pleasure get in the way and keep them from getting saved. And we're going to look at one of those. It's a little word, two letters, but my goodness, how that little word works its way even into our conversations about 99% of the time, and it is the little word if. If. Let's look in chapter, I've done turned the page. Chapter 23, verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him. That is, they scoffed and they sneered and, if you will, turned up their noses even toward the Son of God. They derided him, saying, he saved others. And he in fact did. And he in fact still does. He saved others, and I am one of those. Is there anybody else in here says, preacher, I'm one of the others that he has saved? Amen. Well, that's a blessing, isn't it? The devil can't stand that. He would have loved for you to not been able to raise your hand. He saved others, and what a statement of fact that is. But then they use that to say, let him save himself. If, there it is, circle it. You ought to circle that word or draw some kind of attention to your eyesight around that word if. If he be Christ, the chosen of God, he saved others. Let him save himself. Had he saved himself, he would have never been able to save others. I'm glad he chose to abide faithful to his commitment, no matter how it felt, no matter how it hurt, no matter the consequences of him physically being tortured and marred. The Bible said in Isaiah 53 that his visage was marred more than any man. I believe that that meant it looked like that he had literally been run through a meat grinder. When he left the Gabbatha's hall and the scourging of the cat of nine tails literally would leave a person unrecognizable as it would rip the meat and the muscle and the hide and all away from the bones and would be very gruesome to look at if it would have been anybody else. But the fact that our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus Christ came knowing, listen now, knowing what was going to be ahead of him. He knew that the cross was his purpose and his cause. He even made the statement, "For this cause came I into this world." He came as a mission. He was on a mission. He came as a missionary. Someone said that God only had one son and made him a missionary. He come here and brought salvation, purchased our redemption so that we could come to know the Lord, that we could be saved. What a great news. That's the great news of the gospel this morning, that Jesus Christ did that. And the Bible says here, verse 36, "And the soldiers also mocked him." You have those in verse 35 that were deriding him. And now in verse 36, you have the soldiers mocked. They mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar and saying, here it is again, "If," wow, "if thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself." Verse 38, "And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew." No if here, "this is." I tell you, that got big to me early this morning. I made a reference around that word "is" and drew an arrow up to the "ifs" and say, I choose the "is." As long as you're an "if" person, you won't get saved. You can't get saved with an "if," but you can get saved with an "is." Amen. The Spirit of God wants to work in your heart to do away with the "if." "If" suggests doubt. "If" says uncertainty. "If" says confusion. I don't know who he is. I don't believe who he says he is. You can't get saved on an "if." But thank God when the Spirit of the Lord takes and does away with the "if" and replaces it with an "is." This is the King of the Jews. And it was in all capital letters. Verse 39. "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him." Here's we have some more negative. "One of the malefactors that hanged railed on him." You have those deriding him in verse 35. You have the soldiers mocking him in verse 36. You have now one of the thieves here railing upon him. Railing upon him, a very blasphemous conversation, or not conversation, but words that this man was saying about the Son of God. "If," look at verse 39, "saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us." The "if" there got in the way of not just that thief of getting saved, and he never got saved. The thief that had the word "if" in his conversation, in his address to the Son of God, never got saved and is not saved today. You can't get saved. I'm saying this very simply to those that may be here lost, those that are watching that is lost without God. Do you have an "if" inside of your heart and mind and spirit when you're thinking about Jesus and your need of being saved? Do you have an "if"? If there's an "if," you can't get saved. As long as there's an "if," you can't get saved. Amen. And I don't know, that's as simple as it can be. But there's a lot of people today that's not saved because they really don't believe that Jesus is who he says he is. They really don't believe Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." They really don't believe that Jesus died for them and was buried and rose again the third day. They really don't believe that. That's why I believe in Romans chapter number 10 that it makes it clear that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then it goes to verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why did it go through those two verses of believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth that he died and was buried and rose again? Why? Remove the "if." Confession removes the if. Confession comes from a confidence and a convincing in your heart, or could I use a Bible word, conviction. You are convicted of the fact that Jesus Christ is the Savior. He is the sacrifice. He is the substitute. He is God's method of payment for your sin. But the word if got in the way. The word if got in the way. But we're not through with this text. Look, verse 40. But the other, that is the other thief, the other malefactor, but the other answering rebuked him, talking to the thief that had railed on the Lord, rebuked him saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. He did nothing out of place. He did nothing improper. He did nothing wicked. He did nothing unrighteous. Amen. You said, preacher, you believe in the sinlessness of Christ? You better believe that. You better believe that. Because if had he sinned, or could have sinned, or did sin, then he was disqualified to be our Savior, because the sacrifice that God Himself would only accept had to be totally perfect, totally righteous. And that eliminates every offering that you could give. That does away with us being able to offer ourselves up as, Lord, to accept us based on our merit or righteousness. No. So God sent His Son. But what's this right here? Verse number 41. But we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Verse 43, and Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. How many noticed what was missing? How many noticed what was missing in the entire conversation of that other thief? No if. No if, brother. No if. There was no if about him being a sinner. No if about that. Amen. You can't get saved if you're putting an if on, well, preacher, I don't know if I'm a sinner or not. Well, let me talk to your mom and daddy. We'll find out. I don't know if I'm a sinner or not. Are you kidding me? There is none righteous. No, not one. That's what Romans 3:10 says. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that seeketh after God. There is none that understandeth. We are all gone out of the way. And then fast forward through chapter number 3 of Romans, and guess what we come to? For all have sinned. Verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All. Guess what it means in the Greek? The Latin, the Aramaic, the Hebrew, or any other language. All means all. That's deep, isn't it? That's deep, isn't it? Are you listening? He never put an if on his sinfulness. He said, he never put an if on what was happening to him. Hey, he said, we're just receiving the due reward. Us being hung here on a cross, because we were thieves and criminals, he said, we're just getting what was coming to us. We do the crime, you do the time. Amen. We probably would help us in this country to get back to some more of that. Instead of you do the crime, you're going to get three hot meals a day and colored TV and a weight room and everything like that laid out for you. No. Amen. Turn the heat off in the winter. Turn the air conditioner off in the summer. Let them get good and sick of that mess, and they won't be as quick to go back in there when they do get out. Amen right there. So the word if in the man that did get saved, he didn't put an if on his condemnation. He didn't put an if on his choices. He didn't put an if on the consequences. We're getting what was coming to us. But I'll tell you what else he didn't put an if on. He didn't put an if on who Jesus was. Amen. Amen. In fact, when that one was railing on Jesus, who was it? Jesus stood up for himself? Jesus speak up for himself? No. He was still as a lamb led to the slaughter, opening not his mouth. He was there. His life testified for him. His life testified for him. Amen. And that thief, when the one that was railing on him, listen, we don't even know their names, but we know one of them got saved and one didn't. And the one that didn't get saved was because, it wasn't because he couldn't get saved, it was because he had an if in the way. If you're here today and you're not saved and the devil's put ifs in your heart and mind toward the thing, listen, here's a person that'll never get saved. I don't know if there's anything to that salvation stuff. That person will never get saved as long as they think that. Because you summarize what I just said, that's an if. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if there's anything to it. I think it's a bunch of hoopla, whatever hoopla is. It just sounded good. I don't know. That's an if in you. You'll never get saved as long as you're looking at it with no confidence. And here's the sad part. The reason a lot of lost people, a lot of sinners do not have confidence in God's salvation is because they've saw an absolute enormous amount of hypocrisy of God's professing people. Shame on you. Shame on us, anybody that claims the name of Christ to be saved. And when you go to work or school or in the community or you go play games with your hobbies, whatever, and your buddies, and you use the same filthy language as they do, shame on you. You know what you're doing? You're not just blending in. You're helping them to have an if. Amen. Because they'll not want what you got as long as they think they've already got what you've got. Because they're talking the same way you're talking. They love the same thing you're loving. They go to the same places you go and look and everything the same way. Listen, I believe God's salvation, as was brought to our attention in 2 Corinthians 5:17 this morning in opening of Sunday school. You missed that. You missed a tremendous blessing. And it lets us know that therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. You're talking to the wrong person to tell me that God don't change you when he saves you. I mean, he changes your thought life. He changes your vocabulary. He changes your heart, your desires, your direction, your crowd. He changes you. He changes you initially, but he also changes you progressively throughout your life. Amen. Conforming you to the image of God's dear Son. Hallelujah. Oh, my goodness. But I just simply wanted to point out here this morning, as we get ready to move on to our second word, but we find out that here the little word if kept this man from getting saved. And before we move on, Miss June, the Lord showed this to me while the choir was singing to show the power of if. Here's that the thief that uttered the word if and the soldiers that uttered the word if. They were standing in the very presence of the embodiment of God in the flesh, and still they didn't believe. That shows the power of if. That thief that got saved, he could look to his, or which side he was on, he could look toward the middle. To the middle man, the middle cross where Jesus was. And they looked there. Guess what? He saw Jesus not just being crucified as they were. Oh no, he saw him. Said, but this man hath done nothing amiss. This man is different. This man stands up and above everybody else. We're getting what's coming to us. We've been thieves and crooks and sorry nobodies all of our life and guilty of all kinds of sin. But this man is guilty guilty of nothing but love in the first degree. This man loves sinners. Amen. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Aren't you glad for John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Aren't you glad that God loves sinners? If you're here today and you've put an if on the love of God, we'll move on in a minute. Amen. But if you're lost here today and you're watching and you're not saved and you're putting an if on, God don't love me, God don't care about me, hey, can I lay that to rest with Bible truth? Thank God, Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the proof. If you don't believe it, Jesus loves you, look at the cross. Look at what went on before the cross. Look at all that he went through prior to the cross. Look at what he went through in the Garden of Gethsemane. Look at how he was treated, amen, when he was trying to save sinful men, women, boys and girls. But he went through it all. If that would have been me, I'd have quit. The first hurt, I would have abandoned post. The first rejection, I'd have abandoned the post. But Jesus didn't come here to quit. Jesus didn't come here to falter. Oh no, friend. The devil really wanted to kill Jesus at the whipping post. But had he died at the whipping post, he still could not have been our Savior. Had he shed all of his blood at the whipping post, he still could not have been our Savior. You say, preacher, what? How? The Bible said, cursed is every man that hangeth upon a tree. Jesus had to be hung between heaven and earth as an open spectacle and an open shame. He had to hang between heaven and earth. That's why in John chapter 3, referring back to Numbers, when it talked about the brazen serpent. Amen. He said, if I be lifted up. Amen. He said, if I be lifted up, and was referring back to Moses making the brazen serpent and lifted it up and before the people that were all bunch up, they were dying because they had been bitten with those fiery serpents. And guess what? The message then was, look and live, look and live, look and live. The remedy on the pole, the remedy on the pole must look like the curse, must look like the problem. Amen. What was the problem in Numbers? They were all bit with the fiery serpents. What was upon the pole? Amen. When Jesus was put between heaven and earth upon a cross, he had to resemble those that he was dying for. Amen. Hallelujah. Boy, I praise his name for that. I bless the Lord for that. Do you have an if this morning? Do you have an if in your mind toward Christ or toward Bible truth? If you do, there's no hope of you getting saved until that's addressed. And there's no excuse, listen to me, there is no excuse for you to have an if in you toward the Son of God, because we have a Bible. Amen. You say, well, I don't believe all that the Bible said. Well, there's your problem. There's all your problem. That's your problem. The if that was being placed on the thief that didn't get saved, what was that if literally being placed upon? The Word. Both the living Word, which Jesus was the living Word, and also the written Word, because Jesus on the cross and prior to that, after that, was fulfilling the Scriptures. So when you put if on Jesus, that thief was putting an if on Jesus, they were putting an if on what the Bible says he was and who he was and why he's here. Well, I don't believe the Bible. Well, I can't help you. I've dealt with people in counseling sessions. I've dealt with people about their soul, interested, asking questions about being saved. And I'll ask them, do you believe the Bible? Do you believe? I'll read them verses. I say, do you believe the Bible? And if they say no, I don't continue. I say, I can't help you. What can I say that you'll believe that'll help you when you won't believe what God's Word says? Amen. You know what you've been begotten again with? You know what you've been got? That's Bible terms, book of James. We have been begotten again unto a lively hope. Or Peter, 1 Peter. We've been begotten again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. But James chapter 1, that was the one I was looking for in my brain, all that gray matter up there. James 1:17, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. Being born again, 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. So if you don't believe this right here, then this is the seed. No physical birth has ever happened apart from a conception of a seed. No spiritual birth has ever happened apart from a conception of the seed. Amen. And if you don't believe this book right here, you have done away with the possibility of you getting saved. That little word if may be the very thing that is behind you going to hell. You say, preacher, I can't explain it. God didn't say you have to be able to explain it. God didn't say, okay, you got to have a lot of degrees on your name that long so that you could know all the these and thous in the scripture and you could dissect it and exegete it and all of that, those other big theological words. No, you know what he said? If thou believest. Right. Amen. Amen. That Philippian jailer sprang in trembling on that night of the jailhouse rock. Amen. Elvis didn't come up with that. God did. Amen. In Acts 16, and he sprang in trembling and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And without hesitation, Silas and Paul together unanimously answered, because it said they said the same thing. Whosoever believeth on him. Is that how, Brother Aaron, you didn't lead me wrong, did you, on that? My brain went haywire right there. Sprang in and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, that thou shalt believe. Somebody help me with Acts 16 there. I want to get that right. I've never not been able to quote that till this morning. What does it say? Say it again.
And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house.
There you go. Aren't you glad? Amen. That's still the way it is. But if that crowd would have said, oh, we don't believe it. We don't believe it. Guess who we would never meet in heaven? The Philippian jailer, nor his house. But I have every expectation of getting to meet the Philippian jailer and his household, little Philippian jailers and the wife Philippian jailer, and all. I'm looking forward to the day of getting to meet them. You know why? Because when daddy got saved, the kids didn't get saved because daddy got saved. It's not an inherited thing. I want y'all to understand that. Getting saved is not an inheritance. It's not a heritage thing. Nobody can will that to you. But I want to tell you, it does make a difference when daddy gets in. It does make a difference when daddy gets saved. It does make a difference when daddy really comes home changed, talks different, walks different, looks different. Amen. Why? Because they got saved by the grace of God. Amen. And the mama jailer, she got saved. We don't know her name. And the little junior jailer got saved. Little sissy jailer got saved. They all got saved. We don't know how many there are, but they all got saved. Amen. I believe parents can win children to God if the children have confidence in them. Amen. When they saw their daddy, listen, to be a Philippian jailer, it was rough. I'm talking about rough. They could be a part of killing people and never bat an eye. In fact, the penalty of losing their prisoners was death. And he was going to kill himself because he knew that was what was coming. And he sprang in, he was going to kill himself. And what did Paul say? Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. That's a big statement. What if Paul and Silas would have been like most preachers I know, most Christians I know, as soon as the door went open, you'd hear my toenails going across the hill. I guarantee you, I'd have said, well, I was there, but I am no longer. Adios, muchachos. That's what I'd have said, amen. But you know what Paul said? We're all here. We're still here. We didn't get in this thing to get out. We wasn't in here because of our sin. We were in here because of the purpose of God. And just because the door's open don't mean that means exit. That means God's fixing to move. And here Paul said, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And guess what? You know the rest of the story. You know what? You know why the inmates, you know why they didn't run when the doors opened? When Paul said, we're all here, that meant we're all here. All the prisoners was there, and him and Silas was there. Everybody was still there. The doors were open, but they were still staying put. You say, preacher, why was that? Simple. When Paul and Silas were singing and praising God at midnight, here's something the Bible inserts, and the prisoners heard them. The prisoners had... I know they're in their hands and feet in the stocks, their back is bleeding, and they're in here, same miserable condition. But now listen to them. They're singing and they're praying and praising God. Oh my, I want what they got. They must have the real deal. Amen. Had Paul and Silas been whining? That's probably what I'd have been doing. Say, man, you would too. Come on. We'd probably been singing, but it would have been a whiny blues. Come on. We'd have been whining and oh, poor old me, and won't somebody feel sorry for me today? No, they were singing praises unto God and blessing the Lord, and those prisoners heard them. And even when the jail began to shake, somehow the prisoners still related to what was going on, to what Paul and Silas was doing. That's why they didn't run. They thought, man, God's doing something. Why would I want to run away from what God is doing? Well, these are little words that gets in the way, but it's taking a while to get them. If, I don't even know how we got on that one. Let's turn right quick. I got to get it. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to get these other two. These are big ones too. We may just unhook and come back tonight. Rick, would that offend anybody? I may do that. Because these last two right here, I was just going to deal with three. These last two, I'm telling you, they're little words. They're just little words. But they stand in the way of somebody getting saved, and did in both accounts. I'm hesitant right there because I'm just discerning whether I need to stop or not. Because God really let us hook in on the word if. A lot more than what I anticipated, a lot more than what I thought. So it could be, and that's what I'm thinking, it could be that God means for that to be the message of the morning, is just the emphasis of the word if. I believe that is what I need to do. Let's pray. Sister Paul, if you'll come. Father, we come in Jesus' name.